What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Rookies. This episode is with my good friend, Tyler Dowiak. I have known Tyler for probably over 10 years now, going all the way back to the TBA days. I also was roommates with him when I lived in Pittsburgh, and we've played on multiple teams together, Columbus Level, Drops on All-Stars, JT Paz, G4H, so some legendary names in there. Obviously, have to shout out all the sponsors. Thank you to Die, Ninja, Level Up Sports, and Dave Pando, Columbus Level, and New Balance. We should have a New Balance website dropping soon for custom gear. I ordered some recently, so I'm excited for that to come in. But the live site should be dropping soon. It was supposed to drop this month, but with all the coronavirus craziness, obviously that has been delayed. So I do not know when that will become a live shot. But once it is, we'll make sure to get that out to you guys. And in these times, you know, if you can, just try and make sure you're supporting any local paintball operation that you can, or non-local. Just today, I ordered some masks from Weapons. They're only $7. I ordered a couple for myself, my girlfriend, and a couple friends and some healthcare workers. So if you have the means to, you know, definitely order some from some of these companies that are trying to help, you know, keep supporting the sport. Keep supporting each other, and I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. All right, Tyler, what's going on, man?
Oh, we live?
We're live, baby.
What's up, dude?
Oh, not too much, dude. Just enjoying my quarantine here on my my lunch break.
Yeah, same. I feel like I've been sitting at this computer desk for like months. I'm just here permanently.
It's brutal. Like literally my ass was like sore today and I was like, holy shit, dude. I wake up and I'm in the chair and then I just in the chair for 10 hours a day. And if you're playing video games after work
That's it right there. Cause like you're working all day, like sitting in the chair. And then after work, I'm like, well, what is there to do? Like, no, maybe I'll play some video games, go right back to the computer.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to go outside. I mean, you can go on walks and stuff, and you're not supposed to go anywhere, so it's like, what else is there to do, you know?
Dude, funny thing, this just shows how bad that like this quarantine is affecting me. I noticed my eyes were hurting, like
from screen time. Well,
I felt like when I look outside, my eyes were not used to focusing in on things that were more than 2 feet in front of my face, because I've been staring at screens like for so long.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I like went outside to go on a run or something, and I looked at my neighbor's house and like I felt like it was like a strain to focus in on something at a distance. I was like, oh shit, this is not how my eyes are supposed to work.
No, not at all, dude. It's do you have like I know you have an iPhone, do you have that health like app? Do you get updates from that at all, where it tells you how many steps you take like a month or a week or anything?
No, I don't do anything with that.
Well, it's depressing because I do have it, and it's like every single week, it's like your weekly average is less than last year. Your weekly average is less than last year. So I'm just like, it's showing how much I walked last year at this time and then how much I'm walking now.
Dude, that's like the thing that tells you like how much on the iPhone, like how much screen time you've had. It's like your screen time is up 20% from last week. And it's like, I have noticed, like I've been having to charge my phone like twice per day, which I should not be doing that. Like, but it's just like, you know, there's nothing to do. So I'm like, oh, I'll see what's going on the internet. Yeah. And then before I know it, I'm like, what have I done today? I just looked at shit on the internet and played video games, and now I feel like shit.
Worst quotation marks.
Dude, I did like clean my whole refrigerator yesterday.
Oh, dude, I did that Saturday.
Dude, it feels nice. It's like treasure hunting, but you don't want to find any treasures. Every treasure you find is bad.
I found a moldy ass. I think it was a pickle. I'm not exactly sure what it was. And it was saran wrapped. It was one of my roommates, and I like grabbed it, and it was just like soft and wet. And it was just not what you want to find in your fridge. And I was like immediately to the trash. But I was taking out the shelves. I was spraying it with like a Clorox, and then I was, you know, Clorox wiping it, and then, you know, paper toweling it.
Oh yeah, dude, you got to get the shelves. The Clorox on shelves is absolutely key.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm gonna be healthier now. Like once I pulled out all the condiments and stuff, and saw what the shelf looked like, I was like, oh my god, like How am I not dead? It's nasty. This is where the coronavirus actually started. It was in my refrigerator shelf.
Dude, it's bad. It's because these are things you never like think of. On Saturday, Sophie and I actually redid our living room as well. We moved every single couch, and the amount of dust, because I have the chinchilla still, and we have the dog. Yeah. And the amount of dust that was behind those couches, like you could physically pick up dust bunnies. It was gross.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it feels good. Like when something's real dirty and you clean it, it's like, it feels nice.
Yeah. It's been, honestly, I don't think the quarantine for me has been that bad. I think a lot of people like are not having a great time, but all of my friends I used to play video games with in college are all now playing video games again. So like me, Paul, Brennan, Alex Belletti, his cousin Mario from G4H. We're all playing League. So we're squatting up, and I got my other friend from high school playing, you know, Warzone. The whole paintball team's playing Warzone. So yeah, it's not ideal, but I'm not having that bad of a time.
Hell yeah. Yeah, dude, I've been playing a lot of Warzone, and like I'm not like super into Call of Duty in general. Like I've been playing for the past couple of years. I basically only played Overwatch and Apex Legends.
Yeah.
But Warzone's pretty fun. I do have a good time with that. And especially since it has the cross platform stuff. So you can like play with, I can play with all my friends on consoles and whatnot.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing too. I'm on PC and they're playing on a console. I need to fix my key setup though. Cause I played the other day and I actually got like, I did terrible. I'm not very good at those type of games, but my key setup didn't make any sense. So I need to mess with all the hotkeys and stuff.
Really?
It just defaulted to, it just defaulted to whatever it was. I'm like,
I feel like
it wasn't good for me at least.
I use the default. I don't know.
Dude, I must just be terrible at the game. Which is probably what it is. I'm bad at those kind of games, but I've also never played them. Like, I think I tried to play Apex with you.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to get used to, aiming with a mouse. It's definitely weird.
Yeah, and then the games were like the circles collapsing. I guess those are the most popular games right now.
Oh, the battle royales, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's kind of what Warzone is, right? Yeah,
Warzone is, Apex Legends, Fortnite.
Yeah. All I know is I'm not very good at it. I've never played Fortnite, but I've played Apex and Warzone, and I'm not very good at it. But maybe I'll just have to quit my job and practice a lot more.
Dude, I was playing this, like, when I was in high school, I was pretty good at Call of Duty. I remember like when I was a freshman in college, I had like a 2.3 KD ratio or something.
I thought you were going to say GPA for a second.
No, but like I felt like back then, like I was pretty decent and dude, but now like I play Call of Duty and I just get like destroyed. I don't know if like, it's just that I'm not as good as I used to be or that kids are just way better than they used to be. But, dude, they're so good. And, like,
it's probably a combination.
I feel like maybe they just are playing way more often. I don't know.
They have to be. Because, like, right now there's no school. So, like, they're able to play a lot more. And I think
guess,
they start young.
I wonder if Twitch has something to do with it. Like, if kids can, like, go online and study, like, the top player. Because no one was doing that when we were in high school. Like, I couldn't name a single, like, pro COD player or anything.
Yeah, like live video game streaming, I don't think was a thing. And now it's like millions of people are watching Twitch every single day.
Yeah, everyone's trying to be the best at video games.
Dude, I mean, it's a strange viable career. It's like, you know, everyone, I guess when we were growing up, wanted to be a pro athlete because that's how you make all the money. That's where all the fame is. But now you don't have to sacrifice your body at all, except for like a little bit of carpal tunnel and maybe some glasses. And you can make millions of dollars. Like,
I know, dude. Sweet. It is honestly crazy. Like, you can just sit in your living room, like, never just don't even put pants on, just pound Coca-Cola all day and just get rich.
Yeah.
Playing video games.
I wish I could do something like that, but I would have to, I don't know. I don't know what, if it's probably a saturated market now, but I'm sure there's a way to get into it. I'm just not very good.
Yeah, there's always like different niches and whatnot, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, not all the big streamers are super good. Like, could just do something like Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah, he's the one that does like the comedy stuff, right? Or like the screens or whatever.
Sort of, yeah. He's like an 80s like wrestling character almost. Like But yeah, he's not like super good, but he's just like so entertaining that he's like one of the top streamers, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't never watched any of his stuff. I just I pretty much exclusively watch Sneaky Tiger on Twitch.
Oh yeah, I mean that's definitely I sub every month to Sneaky Tiger.
Yeah,
Carney 4696, I believe, is his Twitch handle.
Twitch handle plug. Dude, speaking of online streaming, I was actually watching another pro of the quarantine is there's a ton of paintball content coming out right now for free.
Yeah, dude, Go Sports is really hooking it up.
Yeah, they that interview with Robbie was pretty cool. I've watched several of their interviews, and then just like old matches, and I want to watch that New York documentary. But I was watching something that I don't think this is actually free, but it's BKI. I was watching Greenspan's How to Shoot Off the Break thing, and it's like this. He's pointing out very small things that I would never even think of, like your feet positioning, your torso positioning, your like angle that the gun is touching the bunker. And he's going through like photos of different pros, like him, like Goldman, are like, you know, the prime examples how to do it correctly. And then he's got photos of like NYX doing it wrong. Yeah. And that's actually why I clicked on this, because in the paintball talk buy sell trade, he had posted a photo of Will Hennessy getting shot in the face. And like circled like two things on it. He's like, it was something like, thanks NYX for showing the wrong way to do things. Check out this BKI thing.
that's funny, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, all right, dude, I'm going to click on that now.
Literally telling another pro team, like, hey, we'll teach you guys how to play if you want.
Basically. So I watch, it's a 40 minute thing. I'm about 32 minutes into it. I don't really ever shoot off the break, but the information I think is still pretty cool. I mean,
I don't shoot off the break super often either, but you know, certain plays, certain layouts, I think, especially the pro level, like everyone's got to be able to do it.
Oh yeah,
100%. And like those, I'm sure those little things that Ryan's talking about, it's like, you know, your foot placement, is that a huge make a huge difference? Like, well, no, it might make like a 2% difference, but you know, if you have 10 different things that are each making a 2 or 3% difference, like, you know, that might be like one or two extra kills per match, and that does make a difference, right?
Yeah, that's the difference.
One kill off the break can mean winning that point.
So. Yeah, it's incredibly important shooting off the break. But I'm going to try and hopefully watch more of this BKI stuff. I luckily have access to a BKI account. And I don't really take advantage of it, to be honest. I don't know. I just never watch it.
I honestly should look into that stuff too. I've never like been on their website or anything. Really seen what,
yeah.
You know, I've seen like some of their like promo stuff, but I don't really know what they're actually putting out, but.
Yeah, it's pretty high quality. I'm not sponsored by BKI in any way, but I'm still going to plug it right now. Like watching this, like the stuff that Greenspan is doing with the screen and with the graphics, it's pretty high quality. I don't know what the subscription is per month, but if you're, you know, a beginner paintball player, someone who wants to get better, I definitely would check it out. Maybe that's why I don't watch it, because I don't think I need to get any better, but we're not very good. So.
Well, it is cool that that's even like an option now, because I mean, when we were coming up, you know, as kids learning how to play, like you were limited by whoever the best team was in that area. Like that's who you'd learn from. Like I know like a lot of the guys in our team, we learned from the TPA Revolution guys. They were like a D2 team back in like 2008. And some of them went on to play like Division One for a few years. But they were like the good team in the area, and they just like kind of disseminated their knowledge to all the local players. And it was like, that's who taught. I mean, that's where I learned all the basics of like how to play paintball. Like, how do we name bunkers? You know, when do you make moves up the field? Like, what are the basic strategies of paintball? You know, like how do you like what should you even be trying to do during a point, stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
well, you know, but if you don't have that in your area, like if you're the best team in your area is like a D4 team, then like you're just fucked.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to advance very quickly.
But now you can. Now you can. You got you know access to pros like on your computer. Like you can learn all that stuff.
Yeah, it's wild. I think I just missed the D2 TPA phase because when I came into TPA, because we started at Bills, when we came in, it was the Chodes. It was Mackle, Larry, Sprouse, Chuck, and Mills were the D1 team.
Oh, yeah. Same guys. Okay. I guess they were just playing D1 at that point.
Yeah, but they were playing under Skyline out of Virginia.
That's right.
Yeah. I remember, you know, back then, you're like this little D4, D5 kid, and you're like looking up to these guys traveling to play paintball, and you're like, oh, dude, I would love to do that. And now I'm traveling to play paintball, and I'm like, oh, man, I would love to play locally. Like,
dude,
why did I want
back
this?
Then, traveling to play paintball was driving 1 hour to go to, like, a local three-man tournament. Like, that was crazy to me. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, like, there's no way I can ever play speedball because there's no, like, field in my neighborhood, like, in my town. But now we're driving. Well, you're flying to just practices.
Yeah.
I'm driving 3 hours to practices, and like that's normal now.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy, dude.
I miss those days of going 1 hour.
Dude, I think the most blessed I ever had it when I was at Asylum, because I lived in downtown Louisville and the field was like two towns outside. So it was literally on a Sunday morning, a 15 to 20 minute drive to Asylum. And I was like, this is great. I got to play like 3 days a week, but now the closest outdoor field is 45 minutes, which is still pretty close considering like what we do for practice. But this weekend, actually, we would have been going. It's funny. So, you know, living with Sophie, she writes everything on the calendar because I'm gone so much. So she knows where I am. We have on the calendar the Revo practice for this weekend, and then next weekend would have been possibly, I don't think we ever solidified it because Corona, but it's just kind of sad to like look at the calendar now. I'm like, oh shit, dude, yeah. I should be going to Top Gun on Friday night. Like, now I'm just like, I was actually looking at the NXL website today, like, when is the next event, and it is in June, which I would imagine that would happen, but I mean, I'm not a public health expert, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard like it's looking like 50-50 right now.
Yeah.
But
June 25th. So even if that did happen, we would still go a full another month, the whole month of May, without having a official layout practice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the thing is like, and the reason I'm worried that it'll get canceled is because you can't actually wait until the end of June and be like, oh, okay, everything's fine, we can have the event. You gotta like know at least a month beforehand for sure that it's gonna be fine in June, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's planning their practices, they're booking hotels and flights, like, you know, people need time to plan, so like, yeah, man, it's like you almost have to cancel it like before you actually know or decide that it's going on.
Yeah, it's I guess a big problem I'm having with it right now is like, I just don't know. This, we can go down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole here. I just don't know what information to trust, because like everyone's like, oh, it's slowing down. Then other people are like, no, it's ramping up. And it's like, has it peaked here, but it's peaked here, and this country's doing this and that country's doing that. And it's like, okay, but like, I feel like everyone is saying something different. So you can't pinpoint it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I don't know. I haven't really like paid that much attention, because at the end of the day, like, I'm just going to do whatever the experts say. Like, I don't understand how viruses work really.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I don't know. I mean, I know what you mean. It does seem like everyone's saying different stuff. I've heard like, okay, I totally lost my train of thought.
That's all right. We can dive back into a happier topic, though.
Yeah. Fuck the coronavirus.
Fuck coronavirus.
I talked about that way too much recently, so.
dude, it's all there really is to talk about, because you can't leave your house. You're not, or you can, but you're not supposed to. Like, me and buddy go on walks. We went up to the beach. There was no one there. It was cool. You're not supposed to drive there, but we can walk to the beach, so it's fine for us.
Yeah, that's nice.
Got the Trumpity Trump money today, so that was cool. But there's nothing to buy. But the BST is going nuts with used paintball gear right now. So if you're someone looking to sell some gear, get it up on Facebook, because people are buying right
now. Dude, I need to do that. So a few weeks ago, I went through all my gear, and I have like six of everything.
Oh yeah,
like I literally have six high end loaders. I didn't even know I had these. I know, dude. Thing is, I don't know what anything is worth.
Dude, you're telling me. I posted a pack for $25. It was gone within an hour. I was like, oh, that was probably too. That was probably too low to post that.
I don't even know. Yeah, well, I mean, what do packs cost these days?
That's what I'm saying. And it was used for a whole year, and it was kind of like not. I don't know. We just got new packs.
I know, the dye packs are expensive. Those are like $80 or something.
It was a dye pack that I let go. Maybe 25 shipped. Like, I was like,
dang.
Dude, but I mean, you know me. I try to be a minimalist. So I was going through all my stuff. We have a little storage unit in the basement in our complex thing. And I have so many jerseys and masks and like everything. I was like, dude, I just want all of it gone. I sold two jerseys. I gave away an old Akron banner I had. I gave away arm pads. I sold knee pads. I sold, I don't know if I sold a loader. I think I had to give the loaders back to Dave. But basically everything I can sell, I'm trying to get rid of, even if it's not for much money, because like it's just sitting in my basement. I'm not in with the way sponsorships work. Like, I can't put on an old, you know, Drop Zone jersey. I can't put on an old, you know, Akron. I mean, I guess I probably could wear an Akron jersey, but like you can't wear non-sponsored gear. So I have like a pair of grills down there that I would wear. Like, Sophie used them last time she came to the paintball park. We played 50 cal. And if I ever play with like another friend who doesn't have a mask, I give them that pair of grills. Cause I'm like, I think the most important part of paintball for new players to have a good time, isn't the gun. I think it's having a good, comfortable mask.
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah. If your mask is fogging up, like that ruins your experience faster than anything. Like, now I can't see anything. So,
yeah, and it's not comfortable. The masks at the rental places, they clean them. Like, you know, you dunk them in water, you soap, you sanitize, but they're just not as nice as $100 to $200 mask that any speedball player is going to have, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I was reffing last year, and I didn't want to wear my I-5s to ref him. Not that they're not comfortable. I just didn't want them to get shot to shit.
Right.
So I was trying to keep them nice. So I wore the grills to ref in. So it was nice to have a second pair of masks for that. But now I have two I-5s and a grill. So I'm going to try and dump the grill.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of the I-5, I love that mask. I don't know about you, but
I love it. It's amazing.
I've never had a dye mask before we played on this team. And it is sick, dude. Like the foam, everything holds up. Like nothing is like falling apart on it. And obviously we play a lot, so that's a testament. But it's just like, it's like really comfortable. I like that twisty thing in the back.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a great feature.
Tighten that baby up. It's kind of hard to change the lenses, but I mean, it's comfortable. Like, I don't know. Like it. It's
comfortable as hell. I think a lot of new masks, they've made it really hard to change the lenses. Maybe that's just my opinion, but that's, I don't know. That's how it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed, I don't use a lot of the masks. But I don't know. I guess the main thing with the dye mask is I feel like it's just like quality. And yeah. I wouldn't say the same for about all other masks. Like I've had masks, like high end masks that are being used by pro teams that the foam came out of them after like three days of playing, started peeling. Which is like, you know, people are paying over $100 for these things. Shouldn't happen, I feel like. You there? Hello?
All right, we've had a quick technical difficulty. We're talking about how great the Die i5 is and just basically how great all Die gear is, really. But yeah, that little strap thing that is on the back, I think they took that from snowboarding boots because I have some DC boots that I had from college that have that same strap on them where you spin it and it tightens them.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and I think also like a welding mask might use that as well. But I'm not a welder, so.
Dude, could you imagine playing in a welding mask?
Dude, I bet like you Logan if you played in a welding mask.
Like you'd have to change out like the lens or like the I guess that's is it a lens? I don't know what you'd call it.
Because it'd be no idea. Too
dark. But dude, that would be like some intense shit. Like for a scenario.
Oh yeah.
Like if I saw a guy like pull up next to me with a welding mask, I'd be like, whoa.
It looks like you could definitely play in a welding mask. Oh, actually, okay. I think I've worn something similar to this when I've done like sandblasting before. You ever use a sandblaster?
I don't think so.
Dude, they're super fun. I used to work at this factory in college, and I was like a summer job, and you would sandblast like machine parts that needed, I don't know, sandblasting for some reason. I don't know why they needed to do it, but they would just have me do it. And you put your hands into these like two massive gloves or like rubber.
Right, it's like a contained yeah. like box, right?
Yeah, and then you have two guns and you just blast away until the whole thing.
I feel like I may have done this before at some point. That sounds like so familiar.
Yeah, it seems like I think it's something you would enjoy doing. That's why I ask.
I may have done it in like eighth grade tech ed class or something.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. If you haven't sandblasted, you should go out and try it. But just kind of on the topic of selling stuff, actually, the reason I don't know if I brought this up to this, but Tim Montressor posted in that same BST, he's selling like, it looked like 20 sort of jerseys, trying to minimize. And I was like, yeah, that's probably
2% of his jersey collection.
Let me see if I can find
that. That guy's been playing pro for like, I don't know how long. I remember before I ever even played a tournament, Tim was already pro. I had never even played a speedball tournament. This was like 2005 or something.
Really? So he's been pro. I mean, all the way back with the Americans.
Yeah, he's an OG now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That Paintball Talk Buy Sell is you're actually the author of a very popular post in there.
Oh my god.
How did it go? Should you add something to first round strikes?
Listen, okay. Do you know what a first strike round looks like?
I'm imagining it looks somewhat like a bullet. I don't think I've ever used one or seen one.
So it's like a half of a paintball, and then there's like these this like plastic fin thing that comes out like off like the back of it, and then it's like hollow in the inside the fin. So I was just thinking. I don't know what made me think of this, but I was just like drinking my coffee over the weekend and I was like, man, if you could add a little bit of weight to that, like fill in that hollow part, it would probably, it'd have more, more mass, and it basically would have a better like ballistic coefficient is what they call it in, with like real bullets. Yeah. So it would fly further. It would like maintain its velocity for farther. So I was just like, man, I wonder if anyone's ever done that. So I don't know anything about first strike rounds really. Like I've never been shot by one. I've shot one first strike round in my life, and it flew really like accurate and far. But I was just thinking like, how do you make things better? You know. So I was like, well, what if if you filled that in with something like, I don't know, epoxy was the first thing that came to mind. But I guess you could also fill it with like, I don't know, wax or like a gelatin or something. Whatever. It's anything that will add weight. But yeah, I posted in some Paintball Talk Facebook group with like 40,000 people.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
Yeah, and I just asked if anyone ever done it, and all these people, these like mad MagFed players were commenting, telling me how I'm such an idiot for even suggesting that. And like, you know, someone posted some GIF saying like that I'm retarded or something. I was like, oh God. What have I done?
You got roasted. They were roasting you.
I got flamed, dude. I got flamed. You did. I didn't put my flame suit on.
These people don't even know who you are, and that's why we're doing this podcast, to really shed the light on this Facebook incident. But
oh shit.
Yeah, for real. But I mean, obviously you come from an engineering background, so you are thinking about the ballistic coefficient of a first strike round, whereas someone like myself would never think of that.
Well, I mean, I guess I have an engineering degree, but I don't actually like make stuff
anymore. Yeah.
You know, I work for a tech company now, but I'm still like thinking about random shit like that all the time. Like,
oh yeah.
You know,
maybe the problem was you didn't post your degree with the question. So people don't know you're qualified.
You know? God, I would look like such a chode if I did that.
Dude, that would be hilarious.
Hey guys, just so you know, I'm a professional engineer. So you need to take me very seriously.
Oh yeah. What I say is gospel. But yeah, that comment was, I knew you were like not saying, hey, go do this. You were just asking like, hey, has anyone ever done this? Like not saying, hey, shoot people with these after you make it hurt.
Apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently first strike rounds hurt way worse than a normal paintball when you get shot by them.
Yeah.
So I guess if you added weight to one, that it would be supposedly unbearable. I mean, maybe that's true. I have no idea. I can say that like when we were kids, when I first started playing, like in middle school, we would all play in the woods. We all got our CO2 tanks filled up at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
And just took turns playing in the woods behind each other's houses. And we didn't have a Chrono, dude. We were just like everyone turned their guns up as high as they could without breaking paint. Like I finally got one and people were shooting between 380 and 400 feet per second.
Oh, and like, yeah, that's just that'll break your lens.
Yeah, we never had any lenses break, luckily. But yeah, that shit hurts. And that was like a Blue Streak and Wild Streak paint. I don't know if you remember that,
dude. I remember Monster Ball. It was at Walmart, and it was like a metallic blue shell. And you would pick, it was in a bucket. It had a handle like a Home Depot bucket, but it was white. 2,000 rounds in one bucket, and that shit never broke.
Yeah, so we had that stuff too. Even before that was the Blue Streak and Wild Streak.
That, I can't remember that.
It was the shittiest paint you've ever seen. Like, so the fill was almost like clear with like a hint of blue. That was the Blue Streak, or the Wild Streak was a hint of orange, but it was like clear almost. So like when you get shot by it, it's just like you couldn't even really see a color. It just looked like there was like some wet like slime on you. I don't know. Dude, and then the shell was also clear, so it was like almost a completely clear paintball, and it was, the shell was hard as a rock. Like I swear the shell on that was like five times as thick as any shell that you see in paintballs today.
Oh dude, I believe it. They're making paint better today, but I don't know if they actually are or not. Like tournament paint's pretty good at
least. Well, I think their paint is more cost effective than it used to be.
Yeah.
Like you got to think with inflation and whatnot, like $30, like paint being $50 a case back, you know, 20 years ago, or probably was even more than that, $80 a case 20 years ago. If they had maintained those practices, it would probably be like $120 a case now with inflation.
Right.
But we've seen the cost of paint go down. And I think the quality has gone down a little bit. I've heard that they've changed a little bit about formulas and stuff to make it dry faster, you know, because that cuts, you know, the faster you can make it, the cheaper it is to make, right?
Yeah.
So if you can dry it out faster, then you can sell it for less, right? Your costs are lower. And like, that's whatever. That's the market is determined that like, that's what people want, right?
More people are playing now than ever before. Like not at this exact moment in time because everything's closed, but like in the grand scheme of the game, there are more rec people than there were when the game started because there's more fields, there's more access to it, like more events. People are like, oh, there's less events. But if you look on APA, dude, there are regional events all over the country basically every weekend.
Yeah.
So
for sure. I know like everyone wants the cheapest paint. And because like, you know, everyone's playing, it's like everyone's always trying to get the cheapest stuff. I wish that wasn't a thing, though. Like, I'm sure you remember shooting some of that super high quality paint from when they still made it, like really good.
Yeah. The original Ultra Evil.
Right. Original Ultra Evil, like the Dye CG.
Oh, that stuff was incredible.
Like the Draxus Hellfire, you know, like that stuff nowadays, I've heard, you know, that would cost like $80 a case if they were to make that type of paint again.
Yeah.
But dude, that paint was awesome.
Yeah. Like, it was straight. It broke all the time. It didn't break in your gun.
Yeah. I mean, like the fill was, I don't know if the fills are different now, but it's just like so accurate, so consistent. You know, always broke. I feel like we'll get batches of that sometimes, like, but there's a lot more luck to it nowadays.
There is, you have to like test different batches, and like, it's not like every batch is going to be consistently the same.
Right. And even from tournament to tournament, like, you never know what you're going to get. And we've shot like every brand of paint that there is over the years. And I would say that's true for every paint manufacturer.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you get the good shit, and sometimes like they predict wrong for that event or whatever, and it's just not as good. And
yeah,
but
even from last year to this year, like that one event we shot HK, like it didn't work. And this first event we shot HK and it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great example. Yeah. We shot it in Texas last year, and like it like wouldn't even, it just kept jamming in our loaders or something.
Yeah, it was too soft to feed through the loader because we had to switch to the LTR, and then it fed fine, but it wouldn't feed through an R2 because the paint didn't dry enough or something. Well, I don't know what the reason was.
It was humid, I remember, because that was Texas and it was like nasty. But the paint got like sticky almost.
Yeah.
And it was like clumping up and stuff. I don't know, but it shot great in Vegas, so.
Yeah, it did. We had a lot of kills off the break, except against AC Dallas. But the rest of the matches, we were shooting people off the break.
Speaking of, that was a tough match.
Dude, that was a brutal match. Like,
that was the first paintball match I've ever played where I literally never shot my gun. I played 3 out of the 6 points, and I went to different spots off the break every point that I played, and I got shot every single time.
Yeah, that just was like,
they were just dialed in. I don't know. Maybe they just had a feel for where we were going to go and were predicting it, but
guessed right every single time.
It's possible.
I'd have to rewatch. I know I got shot off the break 1 point because I played the other three because we and I were splitting points. And I know I at least got shot one time off the break. So that would equal at least 4 out of 6 points we played. They shot our snake set off the break.
Right. And that was just our front guy. They've also shot, I mean, I think three of the points they shot two of us off the break.
Yeah. It was the fastest match ever in modern day history, which is not a great record to have for us. Pretty good record for them. But, you know, it's still good to be a part of a record, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. that's like having the record for like the most consecutive losses in boxing or something. Like, it's just like a record you don't want to have.
Oh no, definitely not. But who knows? Maybe if they keep producing these like fast field layouts, someone will break that record, because that field we just played was a ton of fun.
Yeah, dude. I hope there's more layouts like that. I think the key that made that layout so fun is you didn't have those strong cross shots. Like, it's like I know the World Cup layout, there was that Dorito that was like halfway up the field, and if the other team wasn't already in the snake, you could just sit there, shoot cross, and there's nothing that their snake guy could do to put you in, because even if he wraps all the way around his bunker, he couldn't even see you. And there's just a lane of paint going through where he had, like, between him and the snake, and there's just nothing he can do about it.
Yeah.
And like shots like that should not be on fields. And I know it's like,
no, definitely
it's,
not.
It's probably really hard to design a field to not have that stuff. Cause like, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start in designing a field. And like every time you move one bunker, it changes everything else. Like, I'm sure that's a nightmare to even do, but.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there should be maybe less bunkers on the field?
Dude, I think there should be limited paint.
Yeah.
That immediately just, now it doesn't matter what the field is set up like, because a strategy of go to this bunker and sit and shoot a cross shot is no longer viable. Right?
Like if you at least for the whole game.
Right. If you have a hopper and three pods or whatever, like you can't shoot a cross shot for very long. Right? I mean, you can shoot it for like a minute, 2 minutes maybe, but
yeah, it like forces you to attack, because if not, you'll shoot your pack dry.
Right, right. Yeah, if you're not trying to attack and the other team is, like, you're going to run out of paint, and then now they're in the good spots and you're still in these back bunkers, like, you'll lose.
Yeah. It makes it more fun to watch, too, when both teams are attacking and you have to attack. Like, and nobody wants to watch somebody dump 10 pods out of the same spot, but if they only have to watch 3 pods, it's going to be a lot quicker. It's going to be more movement, more action.
Right. I mean, the way it is now, like, the first few minutes of every point is both teams are just sitting there shooting their guns and nothing is happening. It's like,
yeah,
do we really need this part of the game? Like, is that necessary? Why don't we, and like once everyone starts getting lower on paint, then the moves open up, but like, why don't we just skip to that part where, why don't we just start with low on, where everyone's low on paint?
Yeah. You start where you're forced to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching, just got all the footage going up. There is, I think, the 2015 World Cup final between Heat and Dynasty. And I think Dynasty pulled it out. I can't remember. But the breakout of every single point was two at the back center, two at the 2-4, and then one player either to the left or the right. I think it was to the snake side.
Yeah.
And did you see that match on YouTube? I don't know if you watched it or not. But it was just like, what a boring setup. Like, yeah, it's the finals game, and yeah, it was, you know, 4-3 with a last second buzzer hitter, but the bulk of each point I thought was pretty boring to watch. Like, I wouldn't have called that one of the best matches of all time.
No, I mean, it was definitely exciting, like Heat and Dynasty in the finals, especially like Oliver coming back just for World Cup is like, what a cool story. But yeah, like the field layout, that field layout was trash.
Yeah,
I remember that tournament. And I was like, you couldn't go anywhere off the break because the lanes were so huge. And same thing, it had those super strong cross shots from the back bunkers, and it was like, you're just gonna sit there and wait it out.
Yeah, that's all you can do, and like that's how a lot of the layouts were last year. It was just a very slow style of play, and hopefully, if we ever get to play paintball again, we can get away from that, and you know, play a faster style to play, because it's obviously more entertaining. That's what people want to see.
Yeah, I don't know how much, you know they say like this team is a fast team, this team is a slow team, whatever, but I feel like it's really just more dictated on the layout. Like I don't feel like our team necessarily has, I know we've done historically better playing slow, which is funny because we, you know, in Vegas, we were just like flying down the field.
Yeah.
But I feel like you just kind of got to let the layout dictate what your style is going to be. And then the teams that can adapt to multiple styles, like, are going to be more consistent. You know, like a Houston Heat can play, they can play fast or they can play slow. Impact can play fast or they can play slow. Like, that's why you see those teams at the top always. But
yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a good, what's the word I'm looking for here? You break something down.
A breakdown?
Yeah, I guess you could use the word breakdown. damn, but dude, one thing that I'm actually worried about is the league sustaining, not from the like NXL running out of money, but from teams and players that have been affected by like a furlough or a layoff, not being able to have the funding to continue playing the rest of the season.
Oh yeah.
And like in the pro level, I think you'll see some effect of that, not as much, but in the divisional level, like it's going to be like, after, you know, 2008, when there were 8 teams in D4 Expo, and like, what was D4X at the last event? 20, 30 teams, you know?
Oh, sometime. I mean, I think it can be even more than that. But yeah, dude, yeah, that's a real concern. Like, I mean, you know, if you don't have a job, like, it's tough to play paintball. It's an expensive sport.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the national level. Like, a season in the NXL is, I don't know how many thousands of dollars a year. I think I estimated like $7,000 a year or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about, I would say anywhere from 5 to 7, depending on how often you're playing. And I think that's another reason that people need everything so cheap is because it's not the actual paintball that is the costly part, for me at least. It's the travel. It's the getting to practice. It's like these last two practices, we had hotels both times, gas, you know, for a minimum 4 to 10 hour drive for some people. You have food that you're eating along the way that you wouldn't normally, you know, get, you know, eat out on the weekends. But like, I don't know, you have all these extra costs. Like, I think somebody told me they paid like $70 in tolls. It's like, that's 2-3 cases, you know, two cases of the paint right there.
Yeah, from so, Ohio to New Jersey, well, like one way is like $70 in tolls.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy. That means just to drive to practice and back, it's $140. Mm-hmm. And if you only have 2 people
plus
in
gas.
Your car,
that's not even gas.
Yeah, and it's like you might as well fly at that point. Like my flight was, I think, I can't remember what it was to Virginia, but it was probably around $200. Maybe more, maybe like $250. And it's like if you're driving, it's like, yeah, you're saving a bit of money, but when you factor in all that time, food, gas, $140 in tolls, like it's expensive.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I always, when I first like was getting into paintball, I'd see how expensive the guns were and stuff and be like, man, I just need to get sponsored. If I get sponsored, then I get this stuff for free and then I'll be able to play paintball because it'll be cheap. But the truth is that it never gets cheap. And it's only cheap if you are one of those few players that is getting paid to play.
Yeah.
That's when paintball is cheap, right? If you play on Heat or Impact or I don't know what other teams play players, but the Russians, like, yeah. Okay, now it's financially makes sense to play paintball.
Yeah.
But like we're pro, like we have, don't get me wrong, we have great sponsorships, but like we're still paying thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
like no one's paying for our flights, right? Like no one's paying those tolls or hotels for these practices. Like even when your like gear sponsorships get better, like other costs just go up to compensate. Like it's,
yeah,
there's no getting around it.
Yeah, because you have to compete at a higher level, you have to put in more work to, it's a catch 22. It's, you know, you have to put in more work to compete at that level, and yes, you get more help, but the amount that it costs versus the help that you get is not equal to try and compete at the level that we are now trying to compete at. Even in semi-pro, we are still traveling. Like the, you know, week one, we'd go to Rebel and we were lucky enough to stay at Ian's house. So nobody had to pay for a hotel there, but you still, you know, gas driving to Rebo, all that stuff. And then week two, we would stay at various players' houses around Level Up. So we wouldn't have to pay for a hotel either, but like you were saying, that's a 3-hour drive for you. Ironically, on Columbus level, nobody is actually in Columbus. Addison might be the closest in Worcester, right? Or Mansfield?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. I don't know what is. I don't know where he lives. But
yeah, I think it's close to an hour.
Yeah, no one on our team lives in Columbus.
Yeah.
At least we have people on our team that live in Ohio. I mean, Houston Heat, like, do any of them live in Texas?
Yeah, why do they have the name Houston Heat? I'm sure.
Dude, so Houston Heat used to be a team back in the day. Like, there's an old team called Houston Heat, and they like resurrected the name. I don't know why Houston. Maybe Sarge is from lives in Houston. I have no idea.
He must be. Yeah, they have to live there because, I mean, half of the players are from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, and half are from Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pittsburgh and Russia are not close to Houston. So
nope, not particularly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild, man. Yeah, but I think a lot of people think we have, you know, a free ride, and it's funny, everyone, we got a lot of hate for not bringing on the PC Katana guys, and it's not that we didn't want to bring them on, it's that they wanted to play for free, and when they learned it's not free, they took other opportunities, and I don't blame them for that, dude. I mean, it's expensive to play. Those guys we're gonna travel from Florida to wherever the hell we're traveling to. Like,
that's a lot. Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them at all. I mean, I don't really know any of those guys, but I totally get it. Like, if they're having to fly to practices, like, that's a lot of money. I mean, I don't know that I'd be able to afford to do that. So I understand why they'd want that, but also, like, we don't have anyone to pay for that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I can't afford to pay them to fly to practice, you know?
No, definitely not. So yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen when, you know, the dust settles, in terms of the paintball world, you know, with everyone getting their Trump money and trying to buy a new gun. It's like, is that really the best use of that $1,200 at this point in time? Maybe, maybe not, but.
Dude, I spent mine on an AR-15.
Smart. You didn't even get yours yet.
I know. I preemptively spent it. But I will say, dude, it's pretty sick, dude. I got it for like home defense and stuff. And it's also just because it's cool and fun to shoot.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Scrap. Scrap is now strapped. So.
Yeah, Scrap is my cat. He's a psychopath. But
yeah, it's a good cat. But yeah.
Well, all right. So what do you think about Vegas, dude? What did you think of that, of the event?
I mean, I thought it was almost as good as we could have hoped for, in terms of our performance. I did think that, you know, I feel like I was pretty honest with like the team. Like, we can go 2-2 this event. We are probably not going to beat AC Dallas. We are probably not going to beat Dynasty. I am not. I'm not saying we can't beat AC Dallas and Dynasty, but like, just odds, we're probably not going to. So I went into the event thinking we could beat Aftermath. I'm like, they have a new team. They haven't won a match in a while. Like, I think this is a winnable game for us. And we did. So that was like, all right, check one, you know, we can do this. Match two, AC, went about as bad as the match can go for us.
Yeah, it did.
I thought we would lose. I didn't think we'd lose that bad. I mean, even after the match, I was just like laughing. I was like, holy shit, dude, the difference. That really showed us how far we have to go, I think, how much there is to learn, how much better we can get. So I think that even though it sucked to lose like that, I think it was a very good, it was good for us mentally. And I think that really helped us going into the Dynasty match, because if you look, we went down early, but we battled back, and I think we were ahead in the game at one point.
Yeah, we were winning 3-2 at one point.
Yeah.
Dude, I will say that was, like, looking at the scoreboard, I remember, and I was like, we're winning against Dynasty. I was like, this is not real. That's not a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but so I didn't play very well that match personally, but I guess I didn't play bad. I was just kind of in the game. Like, the one point we did D side push, I survived the whole point, which was my job, held the snake side. The other point was 3-on-3, and I traded with the arena. I think he ran me down and Hallwell shot him, so I didn't, you know, trade with him, but he took my body for his body, and then Hallwell and Askren, maybe, I don't know who else, but we ended up losing that 2-on-2. And then the match kind of started slipping away from us.
I didn't play great that match either. I mean, I had some kills, don't get me wrong, but I got shot off the break once or twice and had a couple, you know, a bad death here and there.
Yeah.
Which you can't have bad deaths anymore. Like, in pro, you can't. Like, you have to make, if you're gonna die, the other team has to really earn it.
Yeah.
You know, you can have like one bad death per tournament. Any more than that, and like you're not doing your job.
Oh no. Yeah, you're gonna have a bad time. You're gonna either be sitting on the bench or you guys are gonna be losing a lot. Yeah. It's crazy, the margin for error, just it's smaller and smaller, you know. And then we went into Infamous, and that was another game coming into it. I thought we could win for the same reasons as Aftermath. They were a new team in terms of like they just picked up a couple new players, Cody Chong, Harrison Fry, and Sewers. And then also they did not have a great World Cup, and I don't think they had a lot of practice time before that event. And we took them to overtime, you know, and it's like, yeah, we should have won that game, but we didn't. And that's just kind of what happened. But I think, you know, my expectation was to go 2-2, and we were pretty close. So I thought it went about as well as the first pro event can go, unless, you know, you're getting fourth place like Aftermath did last year before they completely fell apart. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about it?
Yeah, no, I think that was a good breakdown. I don't know what I expected. I guess I saw us like maybe we'll go 2-2 or like, or we could get blown out every game. I don't know. I was like, I didn't know what was going to happen. But I was also fine with whatever was going to happen. I was like, you know what? Like whatever happens is going to happen. Like we just got to go out there and play our game, do our best.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with the results, especially for our first event. But obviously, like, I think now everyone got a taste and knows what to expect. And I think that's going to help a lot going into the next tournament, which is why I'm so pissed that we had to cancel. But
yeah,
because I'm just like, I don't know. I would say, like, at least for myself, like, I just wasn't sure what to expect. You know, the only pro teams we ever really practiced was Revo, and like, they're a good team. And, you know, we know what to expect from them, but I don't know what to expect from all these other pro teams. I don't know if they're particularly good at one thing or another compared to other pro teams. So, yeah, it was just like, I just had a lot of questions, I guess, going into the event. And, no, I guess now I feel like way more confident in knowing what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
One thing that really surprised me, I don't know about you, is like, I thought pros would be these like gods at gunfighting.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just because like we were the new team and they're like, all right, well, like we're going to beat them. We don't need to risk dying to gunfight. So they just decided they weren't going to gunfight us. But I felt like no one even wanted to gunfight.
Yeah.
Like, I'd shoot. All right, this guy's shooting at me. I'm going to try to put him in. And immediately they would just go in. I'd be like, what the heck? Like, that was surprisingly easy. Like,
yeah.
Semi-pro, like, there's guys that just will not go in.
Yeah.
You know, you got to shoot them. They're not going in. You just got to shoot them. Which those guys, like, scare me way worse because. Yeah, you know, you snap out and you're like, I feel like those balls were good. Like they should respect the paint and go in, at least for like a second. And then you come back out and like they never went in, and like you actually even if you bounce them, like they're just like, I don't give a fuck. Like I'm not going in.
Oh no. Yeah, it's a different ball game. And I guess we'll just kind of see if we get to play the rest of the year how we do and how much we can adapt and learn.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited, dude. Hopefully the rest of the year actually happens.
Yeah, hopefully, dude.
If not, then the rest of next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll save some money this year, which will be great.
That's true.
I have got to wrap this up here, though, because I actually have to go back to work. It's like 1 o'clock. It's going to be the end of my lunch break. Yeah. I'll thank all the sponsors for us in the beginning of the podcast. But is there anyone you want to individually shout out here at the end, Ty?
Oh man. Yeah, obviously, I mean, you'll go through the sponsors. I would say especially thanks to Dave Pando. None of this would be possible without him. Like he's done so much for us. And then also thanks to Dan Letson. He obviously brought this group of guys together before we became Columbus level. You know, he saw the potential in everyone and you know, kind of put it all together for us and got this ball rolling. So those two guys, you know, we owe them, you know, everything really.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, that's all, folks. Thanks for listening.